You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello, welcome to the CNBC TV 18 podcast. We're with Clay Stranger today, who's the MD at Rocky Mountain Institute, and he's the head of the India program. They work very closely with the Niti Aayog and different state governments on their electric vehicle policies. Clay, thank you for joining this podcast. I'd like to begin by asking you about the Shunya campaign, which aims at zero pollution in last mile delivery. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. We are really excited about the Shunya campaign. It was launched last week in partnership with Niti Aayog. And the Shunya campaign is both a consumer and corporate facing campaign to support an accelerated transition of urban delivery, so that final mile sector in the logistics sector, to 100% electric vehicles in the near term. It has a couple of different components to it, but I'd like to first just say why we targeted this sector. As we started looking across passenger vehicles of different sizes and shapes, freight vehicles of different sizes and shapes, both the vehicle technology itself and the application of the technology in urban logistics make those vehicles almost cost competitive today. When you layer on top of that state policies and the central level incentive frameworks, those vehicles basically approach parity on a total cost of ownership basis today. So we saw an opportunity, rather than trying to advance all players in the game, you know, incrementally, to move one segment fast and first to full electrification. This has an economic benefit for the operators of those vehicles, the owners of the vehicles. And I think the biggest beneficiary and maybe the biggest motivator behind it is that urban logistics currently carries a disproportionate share of air pollution in India's urban cores. And also that final mile carries a disproportionate share of cost. So by electrifying the segment, we can kill two birds with one stone, namely dramatically improving urban air quality and reducing the logistics cost for operators of those vehicles.
Right. So tell us, how will this campaign really work? Are you keeping certain targets? Is it just like a campaign? Is it an awareness campaign right now? How will it work?
So that's a great question. It's a multi-dimensional campaign, but what I like to do in explaining it is to draw a couple of parallels. And if you can imagine on a bottle of organic milk, there's a certification that indicates that that milk was produced under the requirements for organic. Similarly, for paper or for lumber, there's a global standard called Forest Stewardship Council, and you'll see that FSC logo attached to paper or lumber that meets that requirement. I think about the Shunya logo, and you'll soon see it around all of India's urban cores. It's a hand that looks like this, making the zero shape. I think of the Shunya logo as akin to those certifications. Basically, any parcel that is delivered in the country by an electric vehicle will carry the Shunya brand. And that's really part of the consumer-facing aspect of this. We want this to become a household familiar brand in the country. We intend that it will. And in doing so, we hope that we can build awareness of the benefits that this transition can hold. The brand itself links to an impact dashboard. So over time, we'll have calculated the cumulative benefits of the campaign in terms of tons of particulate matter avoided, barrels of oil not burned, tons of carbon dioxide avoided, number of total electric kilometers delivered. And so from a target point of view, we see the potential, based on growth in the e-commerce sector, for there to be 8 million final mile delivery vehicles operating in the country by 2030. It's the campaign's intention that all 8 million of those will be electric vehicles. And if that's the case, then we'll have seen over 230 billion electric vehicle kilometers run in service of zero pollution final mile deliveries. One other aspect of the campaign is the corporate facing aspect. And so currently about 35 companies have enlisted their participation and support of the campaign. Their vehicles, their drivers will also be carrying the Shunya brand for any of their vehicles that are zero pollution or zero emission. So the goal is to both engage corporates and recognize and reward their good behavior and their progressive behavior in shifting their fleets to electric while simultaneously engaging consumers on the benefit. So basically creating a demand pull both from the private sector and their consumers to shift this segment to full electrification.
Do you think, because the Indian government has set targets before, do you think it would be right if the government looks at making it mandatory for companies to have a certain percentage of electric vehicles in their last mile delivery fleet? Right now, we're working with a campaign, we're working with an idea. Yes, corporates are signing up for this campaign, but in a way, it would be largely voluntary. While it's good optics for them, it's good for their publicity, it does create awareness about electric vehicles in a big way. But do you feel it would be important to have some mandatory targets in place?
You know, I think that's an option and one that's worth exploring. I don't think that it's a requirement for success in this sector in particular. And I think that for a few reasons. One, as I mentioned before, the economics are already approaching parity in a sense that it will make business sense for especially new vehicles, as we start to think about market share, right? The percentage of vehicles sold in a segment on an annualized basis. Market share for this segment will go up. Part of the campaign's ambition is to really highlight those economics for corporates such that new vehicles being added to their fleets are by default electric. Two other things that I think are important to mention that might address this this challenge in terms of making the case even more compelling without using mandatory targets or from a sort of a government-led perspective. We've found in engaging corporates that one of the big challenges is actually finance when it comes to electric vehicles. And we're doing two things to look at that. The first is we're working on a policy brief to recommend electric vehicles for urban delivery be included under RBI's priority sector lending guidelines. We think that would significantly increase the quantum of capital available for lending to electric vehicles. Right now there's a finance problem for EVs that relates to the interest rates of loans being granted to EVs. This is particularly true in the logistics sector. In some cases, the loans suffer from 3 basis points differential from what a conventional car or internal combustion engine vehicle would be granted. And that's for a number of different reasons, but in many cases, it has to do with the newness of the technology and therefore some of the uncertainty about EVs as an asset that's worthy of investment. As a result, the higher interest rates being issued on these loans are basically eroding the cost savings benefit of not having to fuel the vehicles with conventional fuel over the lifetime. And so we're actually looking at standing up one or more non-banking financial corporations in the country exclusively dedicated to issuing competitive loans to the final mile delivery sector for electric vehicles. We think that these two things, priority sector lending guidelines and competitive loans, can tip the hat in favor of electric for final mile delivery in an irreversible way. And those are some of the supportive measures being taken alongside the campaign to ensure its success.
Right. Clay, I'd also like to ask you about the entire electric vehicle ecosystem in India right now. Currently, you're speaking about last mile delivery. The EV penetration in India is about 1.3%. It has grown by about 1% in the last 5 years. How much do you think India's electric vehicle adoption can increase in the next 10 years, realistically?
Honestly, I'd like to see it around 50% or more by 2030. I think that that's attainable. And I think it's attainable because India has been making huge progress in what we call S-curves of adoption. And so what we're seeing is that much of the progress along that horizontal axis, where a lot of the foundational, both technology development, policy formulation, infrastructure innovation, and investment needs to take place. And right now, it's according to our models and our analysts, we're right at that inflection point where we're gonna start to see vertical growth along the axis. So we see it being possible for India to actually achieve 70% market share by 2030 across segments in passenger and freight. And that's really the direction that we're seeing globally as well. You know, we're seeing irreversible momentum towards much higher shares of both sales and percentage of stock by 2030. You know, and we're 8 years away. So I know for some it can seem unimaginable that you can go from roughly 1.5% to 70% in that time. But we do see these saturations as following curves similar to things like cell phones. And if you look at the amount of time that it took cell phones to penetrate in India and globally, it was under a decade where we went from virtually no penetration to almost full penetration. And time will tell. But I think the imperative is there from an energy security point of view, from an air quality improvement point of view, that you know, the benefits are apparent. And now it's up to us and many others to see what types of catalytic actions can actually take hold.
Right. You know, Clay, that's an interesting point. You're saying that we can reach 70%. That's the reason why it makes sense for you to push last mile deliveries and electric vehicles and last mile deliveries more, because when you have organized companies or you have a logistics operator, they can set up EV charging infrastructure or the support systems that are required. You know the route that you have to take. But you know, I drove electric vehicles just a few weeks ago. I tried out a new electric car, which is there in the market. And you know, I found it's a great experience to drive an electric vehicle. But what happens in a place like Delhi, when you have so much of traffic, you have so many red lights, you're driving. And for example, if you start with a range of 250 kilometers, you see a range dropping very fast in Delhi traffic, where you have rains, you have traffic jams, you have so many red lights. And then you get a little anxious, you know. Within 30 minutes, you see your range dropping from 250 kilometers to about 160 kilometers. And then you wonder, if I run out of charge, where will I go and plug in my vehicle? And will I have to wait for 1 hour? Even if it's a fast charger, you'll have to wait for about 65 minutes. How do you beat that kind of anxiety?
You know, you're raising an important question, and it's the behavioral psychology and the behavioral aspects of this transition. I think probably that gets too little attention when we start to think about this transformation. Everyone talks about the technological advancements, the infrastructure advancements. We actually think about behavioral psychology as consumers as a critical aspect of this. And the reality is that very few of us on a daily commute drive more than 100 kilometers. That's true in India, that's true in the United States, it's true in Europe. And so while the technology is improving and the range, sort of range requirements are improving alongside battery density or battery energy density, it does require a mindset shift and almost a gamification, if you will, in the way that we operate electric vehicles. It becomes in, I don't own an EV, but I've driven many of them. And to your point, as you watch that range drop, it does require a little bit of creativity to think, okay, what is my tour, just, you know, so to speak, look like for the day? Where can I opportunistically charge? In many cases, especially in the delivery sector, but also in the passenger sector, there's no need to take the vehicle up to 100% charge in order to get back in it and operate. We call it like top-ups or SIP charges, where, you know, increasingly as we start to see infrastructure at hubs, you can take 10% while you get your coffee. You know, you can take another 15% while you run into the shop to grab a couple of things. And that little bit of kind of top-up or SIP type of charging, as opposed to a gulp, which would be like a full charge, can actually meet, I would say, 95% of requirement over the course of an average day. The second thing you raised, that, or one thing you did raise that was interesting, was actually the the driving patterns in urban cores, particularly in a place like India, where you see lots of stopping and starting, lots of red lights, lots of traffic. Actually, that type of pattern favors electric because regenerative braking actually gives you an additional boost to your total battery charge. And so a lot of stop-start driving can actually benefit you. What is a challenge is extreme heat, which I know that that you know Delhi suffers from on throughout the summer. Air conditioning can, you know, running an AC on full can significantly drop the charge. In a climate like where I live in the mountains of Colorado, extreme cold can also drop the charge. So these are learning edges for the technology interfaced with the consumer, which are resolvable, but are also real and will take time. It's part of that learning curve of any new technology adoption.
Right. You know, because especially in a place like India, you know, people really use their cars for not just going to your office, but even sometimes for long distance driving. And when you're living in cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, travel times can be long. For example, I live in Noida. If I go all the way to Gurgaon, you can imagine the amount of traffic that is there on the roads, the kind of jams that sometimes people get stuck for even 2 hours. You know, traffic jam in Delhi or in Mumbai, traffic jams in Bengaluru are quite bad as well. And that somehow gives you a little bit of anxiety, you know, if you have a long distance travel and you get stuck somewhere, you're completely reined in. What do you really do at those times? Do you think this is something that maybe corporates in India and even the government needs to put more mind to? I believe we have something roughly as 2,400 charging stations in India. That's not enough if we really want to encourage people. What do you think?
You know, I think you're right. I think the infrastructure in many cases can provide the confidence to address the challenge that you're speaking to, right? If there's ubiquitous charging infrastructure across at least several urban cores, then I think some aspect of that anxiety is dispelled, knowing that you could pull over, at whatever interval and find a point to charge. I see a huge quantum of the FAME II incentive pool is actually allocated to charging infrastructure, but to date, it's still, I would call, underdrawn relative to its potential. So I think that with the extension of FAME II through 2023 or beyond, I think it's critical that, you know, this is really an opportunity for public-private partnership. It's where we have private developers of charging infrastructure technology needing to partner more closely with the public sector to look at what sort of blanket charging infrastructure would look like for the country. I think that can really, really support the overall progress in terms of giving consumers that extra nudge of confidence to make a decision to buy an electric vehicle over an internal combustion engine one. I do think, though, that we haven't really spoken much about two-wheelers. And, you know, this, what we just described really is an issue that I think the EV you were describing was a sedan, right? And I think that that's an area where it's a slightly more difficult segment to electrify from an economic point of view, but the economics are improving as the costs of batteries fall. Two-wheelers have made astonishing progress. I'm so excited to see the number of different makes and models in the market of high quality electric two-wheelers using super modern batteries that have 120 kilometer plus range and that are chargeable at home overnight. And so I think that from a charging infrastructure point of view, it's important to kind of fit the solution to the use case. And so we don't need to overinvest in charging infrastructure. We really need to right-size the investment in charging infrastructure based on the form factor of the vehicle and the utilization pattern. And back to Shunya, that's one of the reasons why final mile delivery is so interesting, is that this sector is ready to tip. I mean, you don't see the number of entrepreneurs in the space. The number of startups and established players making moves gave us the confidence to say, you know what, a unifying campaign that brings together, in many cases, these are direct competitors, right, that have agreed to be part of this campaign, from vehicle manufacturers, e-commerce companies, third-party logistics providers who are actually operating the vehicles. These guys are competing in the market every day for market share, and yet they recognize right. the value of this unified campaign that would sort of rise the tide for all ships. And our position is that by tipping this sector towards an accelerated pathway, it actually creates momentum for other sectors, for sedans, for private right. two-wheeler, because of the sheer volume.
That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point, Clay. When you speak about last mile delivery, when it comes to cargo companies or logistics companies, reducing cost of operations is extremely critical to their enterprise. And here you have electric vehicles whose running cost could be 1 rupee per kilometer compared to 6 rupees per kilometer if you have a petrol or diesel vehicle. Perhaps last mile delivery companies and companies which are selling last mile delivery vehicles like electric three-wheelers or electric cargo vehicles, they possibly understand this the most, that if you're running it on a lithium-ion battery, your cost of running that vehicle falls down drastically.
In the end, those whole business models hinge on the ability to compress costs per kilometer. And EVs are an incredible solution to do that. I think one of the interesting things about Indian capital markets is the fact that many decisions, at least consumer decisions, seem to be made on sticker price or initial capital expenditure. And so the interesting thing about this sector is that you do have some companies that have balance sheets that can justify a slightly higher upfront cost to recover the types of per kilometer savings that you're describing over the lifetime of the vehicle. And imagine the savings are even smaller than that. Imagine that they're based on electricity prices or CNG. Imagine that you're only saving half a rupee per kilometer. When you start to, the sheer volume of kilometers that some of these companies do provide a huge multiplier behind that half a rupee saving per kilometer. So when we start to talk about hundreds of millions of kilometers, billions of kilometers that will be run over the next decade, half a rupee matters. That's the difference between a competitive edge or not. So we're excited about the economics, and we're really trying to showcase through some of our total cost of ownership modeling and publication around that, what this means from a business and investment point of view for both the companies that operate the vehicles, but also the potential markets that will exist for the companies manufacturing them. I think that we would love to see this campaign result in new entrants into the space that are actually customized for final mile delivery.
Right. So, Clay, where do you think we will see the greatest amount of electric vehicle adoption? Will it be in last mile delivery vehicles? Will it be in two-wheelers? What about cars and public transport?
So I expect that in the next couple of years, we'll see huge uptake in final mile delivery vehicles. Those are both two-wheelers, three-wheelers, and four-wheelers. And we hope that that accelerated uptake can actually create momentum and open up space for other segments to follow. It can do that by seeding charging infrastructure networks and by reducing the cost of batteries through the sheer volume of batteries sold for those vehicles. Passenger cars will also see an uptick, but it will happen a little bit more slowly. And I think one of the segments that almost no one is talking about, but is making huge progress, are actually light duty and medium duty trucks. We're seeing globally that manufacturers like Daimler, Volvo, Scania are all making big commitments to the electrification of medium duty trucks. And it'll be an interesting space to watch in India, whether some of the manufacturing giants like Mahindra, Tata, Ashok Leyland make a move into that space as well. As we just talked about, the per kilometer or running cost of those vehicles can give a significant competitive edge over internal combustion engine vehicles on a per kilometer basis, if and only if the infrastructure requirements can be worked out to support that. So interesting space to watch, and one that in the next several years, I think we'll actually see quite a lot of movement in.
And what do you think about the PLI scheme? Do you think it'll increase EV manufacturing in India? Because your incentive payouts will depend on incremental sales of electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles.
time will tell, but I think that that's an interesting intent behind the way it's been structured. And my hope is that it will be supportive.
Right. What about EV adoption in different states? Today, more than 20 states in India have electric vehicle policies. Which state do you feel will have the greatest amount of electric vehicle adoption?
You know, when we look at state level policies, one of the things that we've learned globally, but I think is very true in India, is that when you can balance supply side measures with demand side measures, you can actually unlock significant progress. I recently read through the draft policy, EV policy of Maharashtra. I think it's extremely compelling because it does just that. It looks at both the supply side and demand side measures. So given the share of vehicles registered in the country being a significant portion being in Maharashtra, given the size of the state's economy relative to the countries, I think Maharashtra could go quickly. I think Delhi, you said you're sitting in Noida. Increasingly, I think you'll see a huge uptake in Delhi based on the ambition of the government and the way, both in the case of Delhi and Maharashtra, that those policies have been crafted specifically to complement the central level incentives. When you do that, when you take that coordinated approach as a state level policymaker, and you build on the already very favorable pieces that are there through FAME II, I think that that's when you start to really be able to see progress being unlocked.
Okay, and finally, what about hydrogen fuel cell vehicles? The PLI scheme is also incentivizing hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. We have no hydrogen fuel cell vehicle in India. Nobody is manufacturing them currently. Do you think we are going to see some hydrogen fuel cell vehicles on the roads of India? Do you think this technology has a great future? Are we going to see some surprises in this space?
You know, we might. I think that's a question that the market's going to have to decide here. According to our research, battery electric vehicles are, somewhere between 8 and 10 years ahead in terms of the maturity of technology, the investment in manufacturing compared to FCEVs. But I actually think it's right that they were included in the PLI scheme because in the end, we've heard government, we've heard others say, let's take a technology agnostic approach to zero emission vehicles. And in this case, why not let the market compete FCEVs against battery electric vehicles and see what shakes out? For certain use cases, we might see a fuel cell be by far the most compelling option 10 years from now. And for others, it might be battery electric vehicles. But why choose now when market forces are some of the most powerful things that we can deploy to drive down cost and achieve scale? I think it's an exciting race, and let's let them run it.
Let them run it. But thank you so much, Clay, for joining us on this podcast, telling us about your outlook for electric vehicles in India, about the Shunya campaign, how you really see a revolution and a great transition towards electric vehicles and last mile delivery in the logistics sector in India, and also a possible revolution in the electric two-wheeler space in the near term. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.